Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl,
where we are in mourning because Tom Hiddleston is now engaged.
I'm really trying to put on a brave face about that one. He was my backup plan if anything happened to Josh. So currently in mourning. I am Mandy from Atlantia.
And I'm Karen from Gotham.
Welcome back. Episode 3.
Welcome. We're still doing it.
We're still doing it. Before we really get into the episode, I want to give a little quick correction. Last week, I talked about The Witch of Crimson Arrows, which is A.K. Mulford's novella. And I said that it came between The High Mountain Court and The Witch's Blade. It does not. It's actually a prequel novella before The High Mountain Court takes place. And it's not the Five Courts of Ocrith series. It's the Five Crowns of Ocrith series. So I was wrong on all accounts, but I read it. It's great. Highly recommend that series. And I stand corrected.
That's exciting, though. That sounds fun.
Yeah. It was a good read. It was a quick read, but it was great.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. That's great. It's always fun when you can like get through something really quickly because I just want to know what happens.
Yeah. And this one I was able to read like the night before the War of Two Queens came out, which can segue us right into fictional boyfriend of the week.
Yay.
I've been talking about him for every episode so far because I knew it was coming, but Castile Denier, man. I just love that man. I have, as I said last week, I did finish The War of Two Queens this week. There's a lot of drama about it on Book Talk, which we can get into, I guess, in This Week in Fangirling.
Right. But
my highlight moment of this entire week was when I'm reading The War of Two Queens and Castile Denier, my book boyfriend that I would choose over Reese, says something about how thigh daggers are wildly arousing. And it gave me such a superiority complex to have a thigh dagger tattooed on my leg. So I was like,
oh yeah.
I was so excited.
That's awesome. Yeah. I remember you texted me and it was a great moment.
Oh yeah. So that is my one fictional boyfriend of the week. I don't need anybody else. Well, I love Kieran from Blood and Ash too, but nobody touches Castile this week.
Well, it's good that you only picked one because I have a handful. I was like, I was texting Mandy and I said, I'm having a hard time choosing just one for this week. And then I realized it's my podcast. I can choose however many I'd like.
Yeah.
So this week, my fictional boyfriend of the week is a few people and they're not all boys. So last week, my bookish boyfriend was Roman Montsegov, who I'm still in love with. I love Roma. Roma was, he's just, he's so sweet. And he's just, I have no words to explain how much I love Roma Montsegov. But I also, speaking of thigh daggers, I fell in love with Juliet Sy as well, who also has a thigh dagger, while reading the sequel to These Violent Delights, because I finished that this week, and we can talk about that more later. But both Juliet and Roma, I fell in love with this week, and they have my heart. I adore
them. See, all the coolest, all the best girls have thigh daggers, okay? All of the best book girls.
Hell yes. Hell yes. Yeah. I love them. And in a surprising twist, I also fell in love with Roma's cousin, Benedict Montsegov. He was just so precious. And something happened in the book that just made me so happy for him because I was so sad. So basically, my fictional boyfriends / girlfriends of the week are all from the same series because I'm so in love. You should try it.
I'll try it.
I need you to understand how I love these people. Just as like a little side thing to throw in, I also kind of fell in love with Colin Firth's version of Mr. Darcy this week.
Just now?
I just watched it for the first time. This will Hold segue on. Perfectly into... This week in fangirling.
I am shaken.
Which we, apparently, I have broken Mandy. Yeah. So, as you know, I'm sure you know, Mandy, I have movie night with our friend Beth every week.
Yeah.
Virtually, because she lives in Oklahoma and I'm in California. And so we alternate weeks who gets to choose what. And she chose the 6-episode BBC miniseries version of Pride and Prejudice with Colin Firth. And I, first of all, I had a thing where I had to read the book first. So I read the book first and then we started the series.
Love
and I was very concerned because I know everybody loves Mr. Darcy. And of course, when you first start out, you're just like,
yeah,
you're like, what is wrong with you? Like, what is wrong with all these people who are simping over this man? Because I cannot stand him right now. But then you keep going and you're just like, okay, I get it. And the looks that he gives her in the later episodes.
So I have to ask you.
Yes.
Because I'm going to, like, you're going to have homework that, like, I may need to stop the podcast homework.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the 2005 Pride and Prejudice movie?
Is that the one with Keira Knightley?
Yes. I'm so scared.
I feel like I might have, but I don't remember.
There's no might. If you have seen it, you remember the hand flicks.
Okay.
That Mr. Darcy tops everyone. Okay.
So yeah, Pride and Prejudice. We finished it this week. We finished the last 2 episodes. So we did 2 episodes a week during her weeks because we didn't want to do all 6 episodes in one sitting. It's a bit much.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So we finished it this week and it was just my heart. Yeah. And because we accidentally missed movie night last week for some reason, I don't know what happened. We both just kind of like forgot. We did 2 this week. And so we also watched Netflix's Over the Moon, which was my pick. Have you seen this yet?
I haven't. I don't even think I've heard of that.
Oh my gosh. I love it so much. It's one of my favorite movies. So it is about a girl whose mother passes away and her dad is, it starts a relationship with a new woman and is going to get married to her. And so she is having this like crisis because she is a child and she's like, no, it's only supposed to be your one true love. And she's like thinking her dad's forgetting about her mom and whatnot. And so she goes on an adventure to prove that the moon goddess Chunga exists because the whole myth is that Chunga became immortal and had to leave her one true love, Hoagy, who stayed as immortal. And so she's just waiting for him to come back or to get him back or whatnot. And so she goes on this adventure to the moon and it's a musical and Pippa Sue from Hamilton is the voice of Chunga and she has an epic song that I'm obsessed with. And who else is in it? Kathy Ong is the main character. Sandra Oh plays the dad's girlfriend. John Cho is the dad. Ken Jeong plays a character who I'm obsessed with and you will be too when you watch it. So I highly recommend it. It's very
I'm going to add that to my homework.
Yes. It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix original. It's called Over the Moon.
All right, I'm typing it in now.
And I told Beth when we were watching, I'm like, you need to read Daughter of the Moon Goddess afterward. It's not, they weren't made for each other, but they're both about the myth of Chang'e and it just,
yeah.
So Daughter of the Moon Goddess by Su Lin Tan is the book.
I need to add that to my Goodreads as well.
And then what else did I read this week? This week, I finished These Violent Delights. I read there's like a little novella, like, not like a novella. It's just like a short story that she wrote, like posted to her website. And then the sequel, Our Violent Ends. And I am empty inside. Everything wrapped up really well and it's a beautiful story and I actually really enjoy the ending. I want more. I want more of these characters, and I'm just but Chloe Gong is coming out with a new book. I think later this year, because I've pre-ordered it. It's called Foul Lady Fortune, and it follows one of the characters from this series. So I'm excited about that. And it's a character that we didn't really see too much of. She did play a big part in the second book of the duology. But we don't see her very much. Like, it's not so much like you don't know much about her character. So I'm really interested. And I read like the I normally don't read the little blurbs about books, but I read this one and I'm really excited about it. And Chloe Gong also posted something to her Instagram stories that kind of teased like a possible other spin-off about two other characters that I'm obsessed with. So
Oh, nice.
I'm so excited. If Chloe Gong somehow listens to this, please, I would love an arc, and I would love to read them all and give you all my thoughts, because I need to know what happens.
You need more.
I love these characters so much, and I just was just like, I finished it and I was like, oh, does this mean I'm never gonna hear from them again? I was so sad, even though it ended so well.
I'm sitting here like curious because this is based off Romeo and Juliet, right?
Well, so it's kind of like a Romeo and Juliet retelling, and she does kind of play into it in like, you know what the Romeo and Juliet story is. And
But
so
do
when
they
you're
die? Like I'm sitting here like,
so
how
when
are they
you're
not
reading it,
dead?
you're just like, oh wait, what's gonna happen? Is this and there are moments where you're just like, oh my God, it's Romeo and Juliet. And then you're like, wait, what just happened? And so
Okay,
it's
good.
just read it. It's really, really good. And she wrapped up this story really well, and anything that she brings to life afterwards, I think will follow other characters, not Roma and Juliet. And I think it'll be really great, because it'll expand the world some more while
Yeah.
not like cheapening their ending, if that makes sense.
Right. Okay.
I'm really excited for you to read it, but I'm really excited for her to write more as well. I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed. And I also last week I said that I was reading Anatomy, and I finished it. I remember
You did.
I texted
Okay.
you last night, and I'm like, I'm
Yeah.
trying to finish it
You're
before we
trying
record.
so hard.
I was really close to the end, and I finished it. And I will say, it took me about half the book to get into it.
I
Um,
hate
and
that.
it was it was really rough. But I had and I said this to you, if ACOTAR taught me anything, it's to
Yeah.
not judge a book until you finish
These
it.
two, the Shatter
And
Me
so
series. I was trying to DNF Shatter Me, and I'm so glad I didn't.
I'm glad I didn't. So I texted you already. I don't think that you can read it. There is a lot of blood.
Yeah.
And so, but general story is that there's a girl who is in, oh gosh, it doesn't say the timeline, but it's like years and years ago. Like, and it's like early days of surgery, I guess. And so she's this girl, she's like high society girl, but she really wants to be a surgeon. And so she ends up dressing as a man and trying to take this class, and then gets found out. But then she, is like, she makes a wager with the professor, and is like, well, if I can pass the exam, then you
You can
should
be a
let other
surgeon.
women, you should let other women into your courses in the future if they want to. And by twist of fate, she ends up being able to run like a kind of clinic out of the dungeon of her castle.
Hey.
So it's really cool. And there's like a twist that I kind of saw coming. I think a friend of mine had read it and said that she didn't see it coming. So I don't know. But I kind of guessed it, but it was still, so there's like a little bit of a like fantasy element to it as well, because of that, this twist. But it's very, very minor. So that's what I read. And I'm going to start this book. It's called The Empress Dowager. Oh gosh, I'm Chinese. I should be able to say it, but it's Chushi, I think. And it's a biography about this. She was a concubine of one of the emperors, and she had one of his children, a son who, when he died, the son was 5 years old, and so the son su succeeds him. He gets the throne, but obviously he's five, so he can't run the kingdom. And so this woman, she launches a coup against her son's regent, and she places herself on the throne as her his regent. And
Sister, yes.
I know, right? And the little tagline, she's the concubine who launched modern China, is what it says. So I'm excited. I don't normally read like nonfiction, but it's a biography about her, and just her rise to
Her
power,
life.
her life and whatnot. So,
That's really cool.
and she was mentioned in another book that I had read, and then I saw this book on Heather's shelf, and I was like, mine, I will read
Yay.
that. So I'm gonna start that this week. It'll probably take me a bit because I nonfiction just takes me a while to get through. But so those are my books. And then I already talked about a couple of things I watched. I finished Pam and Tommy. Did you?
No, I've still got to. Josh keeps like falling asleep on me. So
Oh
I'll
no.
end up putting on stuff. Like I put on Queer Eye the
Yeah.
other night because he was asleep and I'm
Oh.
like, I don't
Need
want to
some.
watch anything that, he's invested in.
Right. Yeah.
I need to add that to my homework too, because
Yeah, I
maybe that
finished.
will be a good reason to finish it.
Yeah, I finished it, and I don't know how to feel. Well, we can talk about it when you finish it, but
All right, we can
yeah.
talk about that next week.
And what other? I'm still watching Castle, but I also watched The Critics' Choice. I talked about last week how much I love award shows, so I watched The Critics' Choice, and that was fun. There was, I forget, there was a moment, I'm sure. There's always a moment where I scream at the TV, but I don't remember what it was this time. But it was fun. So that was my week in fangirling. How about you?
Ma'am, you
I
had
talked a
something
lot.
else. You saw something
Oh,
major this
I
week in
did.
fangirling.
I did. Sorry. It just happened yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to
Yeah.
write it in my book. I finally watched The Batman yesterday. And it was fun, and I was texting Manny throughout the whole movie. And before anybody gives me shit for this, let me explain. So this auditorium that we were in, the theater that we were in the very last row, which was what my daughter had asked for. She wanted to be in the very last row, which I was fine with because it's a movie, you can still see it from the last row.
That's my favorite row.
But the way that it's organized, the last row was in line with the projector booth. And so the projector booth is there. So that's like a little wall. And then there were four seats, which was the row that we were in. And then I'm sure there were other seats on the other side. And then there's a wall on the other side. So we're in the very back, kind of in our little own like conclave spot. So there's literally no way for anybody to see that my phone is out and lit up unless they're looking directly at me. Because why would they do that? Because they want to watch the movie. So my phone was on silent, and I spent the whole movie texting Mandy my reactions like live. And do we want spoiler alert
Yeah,
for
spoiler
anybody?
alert.
So if
Just
you
go ahead
have
and look
not seen
away.
the Batman yet, maybe tune out for like the next 2 minutes or so. But I near the end, when I heard Barry Keoghan's voice, I lost my mind.
Yes.
I
So,
text, oh my gosh, I lost
yeah.
it.
So I lost my, I didn't notice his voice in the movie, but like days later, my 14-year-old nephew texts me and he was like, I just looked up on IMDb because I was trying to see if there was an after credit scene. And did you know that Barry Keoghan's Keoghan, I probably butchered that. That Arkham unnamed Arkham prisoner, and he's got to be the Joker, right? And I tell you, my jaw hit the floor. I immediately text you. I didn't tell you.
Yeah,
it was like, oh my God, something crazy.
Yes. Well, as soon as he started speaking, I was like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
That is my sweet baby Druig right there.
Yeah.
My sweet baby Druig in Arkham. This is what's happening. I lost my mind. And his name shows up in the credits.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not just in like the tiny list, like in the big bold font before like the credits roll.
How I missed it, I don't know. That's when I was telling Facebook, like, you've got to go see the Batman.
Because I sat there, and obviously I typically sit through the credits for any movie just because I feel like all these people worked on it. So I should give them some like respect. So I sit through the credits. And so I was like, okay, I wonder if they like put his name in it because it's such like
it's so small. Like the James Bond guy, I can't remember his name right off, who was a stormtrooper in one of the Star Warses, and they didn't credit him. Okay, he was filming on one sound stage, Star Wars was filming on another, and he was like, hey, I like Star Wars, and they were like, here, put on a stormtrooper suit, and you can be a stormtrooper. Yeah, and they never credited him. It's just like something they talk about in articles later.
Yeah, and so I was sitting there, and I was like, I wonder if they're gonna like put him in the credits. And I was shocked because his name, it's not just in that like rolling list of credits. It's in the big, bold font, like full screen, Barry Keoghan.
I can't believe I missed it.
The other thing when I was watching and I texted this to Mandy, I was like, ma'am, is this Ulysses Klaue as Alfred?
Listen, like, I'm more triggered by the fact that Colin Farrell was Penguin.
Wait, what?
Okay, so you didn't notice this? I didn't either until I was looking at IMDb. Yes, that was Colin Farrell.
Oh my God.
I never in my wildest imagination would have figured that out. But then when you consider his voice afterwards, you're like, yeah.
God. Was unrecognizable.
I know.
I was watching Loki and it's Mobius. Is that his name? Why am I not remembering his name?
Mobius,
right?
Yeah.
What is wrong with me? I was like, I know it's Luke Wilson, but Owen Wilson, the other one. I know it's Owen Wilson, but I can't put it together. Like watching him on screen, I was like, I know he's in this, but where is he? Oh, he's right in front of me. Like, it's amazing. It's amazing the transformation these people go through. And I love it. And that moment. And I texted this to you as well, where they, Batman and Gordon have Penguin and they have him like tied up or chained, like handcuffed, his hands and his legs. And then they walk away and he's just waddling after him. I was laughing so hard. I couldn't breathe. And
like actual penguin.
I looked around and nobody else was like moving. So they weren't laughing. And I just couldn't understand. I'm like, do you not understand how hilarious this is?
So what probably happened there is that everybody else in the theater are DC people who know where we're like Marvel girls and we're like, oh my God, look at this, is so funny. And they're like, yeah, that's how he walks. That's why they call him that.
I love it so much.
I was here for emo Bruce Wayne. My husband was like, he's not emo. He's supposed to be like a billionaire philanthropist. And I was like, no, that's Iron Man. Leave me alone. And he's like, no, well, he is supposed to be kind of a playboy and out in the open. And I'm like, well, I don't care. I want him to be emo. And here he is.
TikTok from Jay Stoobs, where she was like, it actually makes a lot more sense for him to be like an emo like virgin, like
he had a horrific childhood
with the ladies. Like, it doesn't make that much sense for him to be
hotshot,
like, the hotshot billionaire playboy, like And I was like, you know what? I agree with this. And I like this, especially now that I've seen the movie. I absolutely agree with it.
So do you agree with me, with my assumption or my assertion on episode one that that movie was made for the girls? That movie was for the female
gaze? That was absolutely, that movie was catered to the girls. Absolutely, 100%. Can we talk about the Catwoman was queer on screen?
Yes.
100%. People are going to argue about it till
gorgeous.
She was.
It was like chef's kiss. 100%. It was like chef's kiss that they made her queer.
It is so clear. And people are going to argue like, no, they were just roommates. No, bitch.
Baby, no.
No. Are you crazy? No.
Did you watch the same movie we did? No.
Yeah, exactly. I texted you during the, I was like, did they just make Catwoman queer on screen? My little bi heart is so happy.
Yep.
So excited. I loved it. I loved it.
I did too. So, I loved every second. It was so good.
I will say I was bored at times just because it felt like it dragged on so long. I feel like
Josh said that too.
I feel like they could have told the story like in a shorter time frame.
Yeah.
It just,
I felt like they,
it just,
they were trying to build suspense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also felt like, at times I felt like there were just too many moving parts. There were like too many people, even though there weren't even that many people. I don't know what it was. Something just felt overwhelming to me.
So we talked about that too, about how a lot of people were mad at the casting because it was all like white men, but I didn't feel that way because all, except for Robert Pattinson and Alfred, all the white men were bad guys.
I liked the fact that you had the white men as the bad guys. Yeah. Like normally the whole thing is like that. I would be more outraged, I think, if they had exclusively had the people of color as the bad guys.
Exactly.
Like you had, that would have been just really icky. And the
and
fact
it's,
that
it's more accurate to the current climate in that all of like the dirty politicians and dirty cops were skeevy white guys, skeevy old white guys. Like that's historically accurate to now.
Yes. So, yes. Absolutely.
So could the cast have been more diverse? Sure.
But would I want it to be?
I don't know that I want it to be. You're right. Like
you know what? I will say, cast was more diverse, I would have loved to see Alfred as a person of color.
Yes, that would have been cool.
I don't want to replace Robert Pattinson because I think he was perfect in the role, but I think any of like the mayor-elect was a woman of color, which was amazing.
Yes.
Catwoman is a woman of color, a queer. She was queer on screen, which was really exciting. Alfred would have been, it would have been really cool to have Alfred as a person of
Who
color.
Who was the cop that was, that befriended him though, that was helping him? I've forgotten his name now, but he was
the
a person
one,
of color.
Yeah. The one, when he like breaks back into the Penguins, like before the bombs go off.
Well, he was his buddy through the whole movie.
Oh, Gordon?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I don't think of him because in my mind he's Commissioner Gordon, but he's not in this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, James Gordon.
So
but also
he's a person of color.
He was a person of color. And I texted you. I was like, if anything happens to this man, I will riot. And I don't know what it is. In every iteration I've seen of like James Gordon, Jim Gordon, I feel for him. I just want to protect him. I don't know what it is. I'm just like, if anything happens to that man, I will lose it. but also the, if you remember, he breaks back into like the Penguins, not breaks back, but he goes into the Penguins apartment after he's like been put into jail or whatnot. And he's looking through the evidence. And
the Riddler, the Riddler's apartment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. The Riddler. Yeah. The Riddler. Yeah. And there's a cop who's like, hey, you can't be in here. And then
they find the carpet.
They find the carpet stuff. But that cop was a person of color. He was, I believe he was of Latin descent. So I thought that was pretty cool too. So there were, I mean, there weren't that many character, like main
There weren't
characters.
enough characters to make it
But I,
insanely diverse. It all
but
movies could always be more diverse, but
absolutely.
I don't
But
feel like this movie failed in diversity because of the nature of the characters. I mean, you could change the way the penguin looks, but when you picture the penguin, you picture what you saw on screen.
So I think it was well done, and I, my only complaint was that it was a bit long. There were points that dragged, but I really enjoyed it as the movie. And again, I lost my mind when I heard Barry Keoghan's voice.
I know that
I lost it. And now
because he
I
would
understand.
be, if it's Joker, he would be such a good Joker.
Listen, I would I Barry Keoghan as
He
the
can do
Joker
anything.
would bring me into the DC world.
Yes,
I would
absolutely.
like I whew, that man.
See,
That man. I love that
that's
man.
another example of the male gaze versus the female gaze. And I know that you don't agree with this example fully, but like, I could not have cared any less about Icarus in the Eternals if I tried. Not attractive to me at all. But you put Druig in front of me, and it was like, yes,
See, here's the thing.
yes, sir.
Icarus, I'm more interested in Richard Madden than I was in Icarus.
Yeah.
Icarus was kind of like, to me, whatever. He was a character, but Richard Madden, I think, is. But Druid, sir, what was your week like, other
My
than
week was pretty
the feel?
uneventful. I spent a lot of time with Castile Denier. I gave the book a 3 out of 5.
Ooh.
I don't want I'm, this is going to be kind of a spoiler-free review. I feel like it drug on and on and on. So it was the whole book was hurry up and wait. So it would be, we're going to wait forever. And then when there's supposed to be this big epic scene, it was kind of like, meh. Like she just threw some words on a page and then it was over. And then there was a big long wait again. And then there's a lot of drama on Book Talk surrounding this book. A lot of people are accusing her of catering to, I guess she's got a Facebook group that she's in where people have been asking for something for a long time. And I don't really understand the drama because I feel like the entire fandom has been waiting for something to happen. And I don't want to give away spoilers, but a lot of people are like ripping her apart for that. My bigger issue, and the reason I gave it 3 stars, other than the hurry up and wait, the writing did feel kind of rushed. And I found a lot of typos where, to me, if you like with an indie published book, I will forgive any typo because that is one, two, maybe three people, and then maybe a small arc or beta team. Someone like Jennifer L. Armentrout, who is traditionally published, has a publishing house editing for her. So for me, there's less excuse for typos. And when the she wrote a book that's like a companion series to this, I guess. It's a prequel series. There was a typo literally on the back cover. And people were like buying it in the store with typos on the back cover. And to me, I really am trying not to be like as much of a grammar Nazi and like a snob about stuff like this anymore in like the world, because I feel like it's kind of classicist to be that way. But if you're a traditionally published author who has no end in sight when it comes to an editing team, I have less of a reason to give you an excuse for
It's
your
really
typos.
interesting that you, so this is the From Blood and Ash series, right?
Right. This was the fourth book.
So it's really interesting that you say that, because a friend of mine was telling me, I think, I can't remember what the context was, but we were talking about From Blood and Ash, and she was saying how it was good, but it was sorely in need of an editor.
Yes.
And
it,
so
it was either this one or the
It was a while ago. It was before this week.
Shadow
it
in the Ember.
Yeah, Shadow it was the before Ember. The War of Two Queens came out, and she was like, it's good, but you can tell she kind of just needs an editor, because and I was like, oh, that sounds strange. And it's actually funny that you mentioned that this week too, because in the book that I read, Anatomy, there were some like typos in there as well, where I was like, is that?
Yeah.
Well, so there's this one part. So when she pretends to be a man, she adopts the name George Hazelton. And her name is Hazel. So, and her brothers who passed away, his name was George. So it kind of made sense. It was just kind of playing off their names. But every time that I would see the name, it would be spelled differently.
See,
and I was like, at first I was like, was done on purpose, but there was no rhyme or reason to it. Like, she's not writing it down, or like, is it because the way that, so Hazel is spelled Hazel, and so Hazelton you would think is Hazelton, and that's how you know I would expect it to be spelled. But the first time it comes up, it's spelled Hazelton. And so I was like, and so I was like, oh, so when I
maybe
first
she
read
flipped
it, I was
it
like,
around
maybe it's
to...
like Hazelton or something, you know, like she tried to make it, but then it came up later and it was spelled the way that I expected. And I'm like, oh no, this is supposed to be Hazelton.
So
why is it? It was very confusing. And I was like, and it wasn't the only, that wasn't the only thing. There were other like typos that I noticed too. So it's interesting that we both kind of read books that had that were like noticeable, like, and it wasn't just like grammatical things, you know, like a missed comma here or something. Like it was misspellings,
an extra like, word that there were several times in this book where I had to read a sentence multiple times to figure out what exactly they were what exactly she was trying to say, because it just was, I don't know, it was bizarre.
It's interesting.
But the story was good. If Goodreads allowed half stars, I would have given it a 3.5. But I mean, I'm glad I read it.
Hung out with your boyfriend.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm with Castile, it's a good time. And the thigh dagger quote, like, I've got the biggest head right now because Castile said that thigh daggers were wildly arousing, and I'm like, got my thigh dagger.
And it's so I will say for Chloe Gong's duology, These Violent Delights and Our Violent Ends, I listened to them on audiobook. I didn't read the books, and I'm actually really, really glad that I did, because there are, and this is just kind of like a heads up, but there are, she uses words in different languages, because the characters speak multiple different languages. So there's like Shanghainese, there's Russian, there's French, there's all kinds of different languages. And so it was really nice to have somebody else read it to me so that I didn't have to like butcher these things in my head. And especially because Juliet's last name is Cai, and it's actually spelled C-A-Y. So I never would have pronounced it correctly, even and I'm Chinese, I wouldn't have even pronounced it correctly. So it was really nice to have somebody else read it to me. So I would recommend listening to it on audiobook instead of actually reading it, though I will end up buying the books.
That's how Firekeeper's Daughter was too, because it's about an indigenous tribe of people, and so they have their native language that they still uphold and they still try to speak. And so it was cool reading the audiobook. I kind of did both when I finished it. I finished via the actual book because I can read faster than the audiobook.
Right.
Most of it was on the audiobook while I was driving and hearing how to pronounce some of these words that I would have totally butchered. made it easier to finish because by then I knew
right
how to pronounce things. So I agree.
So I audiobooks are a treasure.
Okay, so aside from The War of Two Queens and the drama surrounding it, I was devastated Friday night because I went to go watch more episodes of Mrs. Maisel, and the season is over. They put out 2 episodes a week for 4 weeks, and I just wasn't thinking about the fact that it was 8 weeks. So I was like looking for more, and it's not there. I started, I haven't gotten very far at all, but I started All of Us Villains by Amanda Foody and Christine Lynn Herman. I'm very excited about this.
It looks
interesting. And this is nerdy, but I mean, here we are on the Incoherent Fangirl. Friday evening, it was really gross and rainy here. We didn't really feel like doing anything. So Josh was here playing a video game. He's really into Elden Ring right now. My nieces were doing their own thing. So I put in my War of Two Queens audiobook and I started playing The Sims again. So I'm back into my geeky Sims world. I decorated an entire house and then it crashed and did not save any of it.
Oh no.
It didn't even tell me it crashed. I saved it. I closed it. I went to move a family into it and none of my stuff was there. It's like, what?
Oh,
I was upset.
No,
it's okay so though. Rude. I'll redo it. I like building and decorating far more than I like actually like gameplay. So
yeah, I probably would be the same way. I've never played The Sims, but I be the same way.
I was I had 2 really good friends in middle school and we would write stories. I thought about it because there was a tweet about Turning Red that said people are coming after it because 13-year-old girls aren't like that. And it's like the tweet said, excuse me, when I was 13, I wrote a story about how Legolas came and fell in love with me. And then we traveled to Middle Earth where Aragorn also fell in love with me. So yes, 13-year-old girls are cringe, but we are legion. I wrote so many stories about Ashley Parker Angel from O-Town falling in love with me. And then I had so many Sim families in middle school. So
Red was just peak adolescence.
It was the most
accurate portrayal of 13-year-old girls I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
That was
thinking about those days of my life, it was writing stories and The Sims. And so I read that and it was like, all right, well, I'm going to have to play The Sims again. I had redownloaded The Sims at the beginning of like COVID shutdown just because like it was during the time where like you didn't leave your house. You're supposed to stay in. We don't know what's going on. And so I ordered a laptop from Best Buy and I downloaded The Sims on it. And that was my Sims laptop. And then it's been kind of sitting there collecting dust. And I restarted The Sims.
That's fun though.
That's been my week. I really did. I wasn't able to watch Fresh because I unexpectedly had 2 13-year-olds who needed a lot more of my attention than I've been giving to anybody in the past few weeks that they haven't been here.
Yeah.
I will get to it though. I promise.
You better. I want to talk about it.
I know. I'm sorry.
I want to talk about it. It's okay. It's okay. You have so much homework now though.
I know. I really do.
I don't have any. I've done my homework. Teacher, give me more homework.
The 2005 Pride and Prejudice. 2005. The hand flex. Keira Knightley, Pride and Prejudice.
All right. I will.
You're going to leave Colin Firth in the dust.
Oh, but he made his faces.
Okay. Did he have the chest hair and the hand flex? No.
He made he such does beautiful not. Faces at her. It was so
just
lovely.
Wait.
Okay.
Just
all right,
wait.
2005, Keira Knightley, Pride and Prejudice. It's been on my list since it came out. I just never got around to watching it. I don't know.
It makes me want to rewatch it just talking about it.
I just think of Mr. Darcy and I'm like, your family sucks, but hey, I want to marry you.
Like, yeah, sure. Like I'll take you. Keep you.
Oh my goodness. All right, we went a little off the rails there.
Always. I'm incoherently.
Okay. It's okay. But this week, where did my money go?
Where'd your money go, Karen?
Oh, God. Well, first of all, can I just say, I got a little Hawkeye Funko Pop. It's the one, there is a, it's like a combo pack. So it's got Hawkeye and Spider-Man from Civil War, and then two keychains. I think it's Cap and Iron Man. But I only wanted, I just wanted Clint. So I
he's
just
so
found
cute.
He's so cute. And his head, it was funny. I got a Bucky Pop a while back. And I took it out of the box, and I was texting a friend of ours, and I was like, his head bobbles, and I can ask him questions, and she was like, did you ask him to marry you? And I was like, yeah, of course I did. Question stand. Yeah, all the Marvel pops have bobbleheads. There's some sort of licensing thing where they have to like be bobbleheads.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, all of the Marvel pops, they have to have bobbleheads. They can't have the, like, stationary heads.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I forget. There's something about, like, I think it's a licensing thing. Like, I don't know. Somebody explained it to me once. But, yeah, so if you ever notice, all of the Marvel Funko Pops will have bobbly heads.
Weird.
Yeah, but it makes for good. You can ask them questions.
Yeah.
True, you want to be my best friend?
Do you know what my brother did to me one time? My youngest brother. It was right after Infinity War came out. Mm-hmm. He came over and he was like, I have a gift for you. And I was like, okay. Now, we've talked about how, like, I'm a Loki girl. I love Loki. But Spider-Man is, like,
right,
my lifetime, where my heart has always been, has been in Spider-Man since I was little. Mm-hmm. He brought me a Funko box. It's the Spider-Man Funko box, but in it, he had taken out the pop and just filled it with dirt. Because Spider-Man got dusted. Terrible.
Oh, no.
I cried. I was like, Logan, this is horrible. Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah, awful.
I don't like that. We're going to talk about happy things now.
Yeah. Show me where else your money went.
My money
Tell
went
me where else your money
to...
went.
Here comes the nerd.
Hey, so did mine. All right, what do you have?
I got, so she did a Pop Shop Live event recently. I forget what the theme was, but she did a Pop Shop Live event. And so these are all, I think only like three of these are for me. So I've got, it's a stained glass Beauty and the Beast with the music. It's screen printed. It's Tale as Old as Time. And it's really pretty. And then a little Shadow Heartless. This was, she said it was the first, like, pin that she made.
Oh.
And so I was like, well, I don't own it, and I don't collect this, but I have to own the very first one you've ever made.
Right.
And then a little Miko with his little biscuit.
Cutie.
And then my daughter was watching with me, and she was like, Mommy, I want this. And I'm like, okay, fine. And I use Joanna's pins and stickers as bribes. with
hey,
my daughter.
Smart.
So anytime like I tell her like you have to do this and then you can get a pin, and she does it and she gets a pin and she gets to choose. So I have a whole like little bin of just pins for her to choose from.
I love it.
But so we've got the little Kitsune, we've got the 10th Dr. Doggo, Luna with her lion head, and then her little revamped Niffler, who is so freaking cute. You can't see it, but he's got a little like dollar sign bling bling hair, and it's glittery.
Oh.
It's very cute. And I also got stickers.
Oh, you got lots a ton of stickers.
Lots of stickers. So they're very cute. We've got a little mini Bruni, mini Pascal, mini Zero, mini Stitch, Wicket, and then Captain Kitty. And these are all, I believe these are all Pop Shop Live exclusive stickers. So they will not be dropping on her website. So you have to follow her on Pop Shop Live. Use code Nerdy when you sign up. Nerdy with two Y's. And you can get exclusive stickers. And speaking of Here Comes the Nerd, the Patreon for April is coming up. And it's going to be Tigger and Leia. And I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but they're so freaking cute. So if anybody wants to get a cute little Tigger or a cute little Leia enamel pin from Here Comes the Nerd, sign up before April 1st. March 31st is the last day to sign up.
Yep, you don't have too
And
much longer.
you don't have too much longer. So sign up for that because you don't want to miss out on the cuteness. It's at patreon.com/herecomesthenerd.
Woohoo!
And that, oh, and I have one more thing that I got this week, and it I didn't technically my money didn't go to it, I guess, but it's pre-order goodies for another book that I pre-ordered.
Hey, cool.
So this is for the book that I am looking forward to at the end of the month. It's called A Forgery of Roses by Jessica S. Olson. So there are these two prints. There is a signed book plate. There is character cards, and then this
Hey, that's cool.
gorgeous little, like, shiny little bookmark with the quote on the back. It's very pretty. So I'm very excited about that.
Very cute.
Did I get anything else? I got some stuff from Grimoire T, but I put that away already, so but I'm always getting stuff from Grimoire T because that's just who I
Same.
am as a person. So
Same.
that's where my money went. Where did your money go this week?
Well, I didn't spend a lot this week because I had a glasses exam and had to pay for new glasses. They're not here yet,
Boo.
but so a lot
So
of my
that's where
money
your
went
money went.
to my eyes, but
Those are important, though. Those are important.
yeah, my eye doctor is right next to Barnes and Noble though. So of course I walked over
Course,
to
as one
my
does.
brother, I have a brother named Josh too. My brother Josh works there. So I was like, well, I'll go see if he's working. He wasn't, but I found the banned book table and I was like, I can't leave without a banned book.
Yeah.
So I got Last Night at the Telegraph Club by Melinda Lowe.
Ooh.
Emily X. Arpan wrote the little review on the front.
Love
I
her.
have, I know you do. I literally have zero idea what this book is about, but I'll read you the back of it because
It looks pretty.
I didn't read the back of it. I just saw one and grabbed it. And I saw Emily X. Arpan's name on it. So I was like, all right. Lily Hu can't remember exactly when the question took root, but the answer was clear at the moment she and Kath Miller walked under the neon sign of a lesbian bar called the Telegraph Club. America in 1954 is not a safe place for two girls to fall in love. Red Scare paranoia threatens everyone, including Chinese Americans like Lily. With deportation looming over her father, Lily and Kath risk everything for love.
I want
I will read it soon and I will let you know.
everything that I need in a book. Chinese
Yeah.
American and queer. I'm in. It's
Yeah.
me.
So because most of the other ones were books that I either already have or have already read, like The Great Gatsby was there, 1984. All the ones you know, but this one. So I snatched it up and I saw this little sticker that says buy one, get one half off. So I'm walking around the store and I find that Legendborn also has that sticker. And I've been dying to read Legendborn. So I don't really know much about what Legendborn is either, but I know it's like a fantasy
It looks
novel
pretty.
and it has our main character is a person of color,
Yes, we love
which
that.
we don't have enough of in the fantasy genre. And I have seen so many people who, in their reviews on Book Talk, they don't really even say what it's about. They're just like, trust me, you have to read this.
Ooh, okay.
So
I
I'm
like
gonna read
that.
this. So just looking at the back, looks like it's about a 16-year-old whose mother dies. She accepts I guess entrance into a program at UNC Chapel Hill to kind of get away from her life, but then there's a magical attack on her first night of campus, and it kind of things go from there. And she kind of it seems like somebody's coming to try and wipe her memory of what she
Ooh.
saw, and chaos ensues. It
All
looks like it's
right.
going to be kind of long because this looks like it's 500 pages ish, but the text is tiny.
Oh,
But that's good. I love a long book, so I'm
I
very
was gonna
excited about
say
this.
that the night the stars fell was long.
Yeah.
And it was lunch. Phenomenal. So,
but so worth it. Those were my purchases at Barnes & Noble.
Yes.
And then I also went shopping at Here Comes the Nerd. So I got a Bat Boys notepad.
Yes. I love the notepad.
I love them. And then I got the Phineas, Ezra, and Gus Hitchhiking Ghosts.
Yeah.
I got Identity, blah, blah, blah. I got Identity Theft is Not a Joke, Jim. And then I got Cassian and Azriel.
Oh, exciting.
So, if you want some, Here Comes the Nerd.
Glow in the dark?
No, I didn't.
They do.
I need to go.
Yeah, they glow in the dark.
If you want some Here Comes the Nerd pins, go to herecomesthenerd.com. And if you use code FANGIRL, you'll get 20% off your first order.
Yay! We love Here Comes the Nerd.
We have a sponsor.
We do. We love our sponsor.
Yes, we do.
She did a Twitch stream this past week, and I missed the first part of it because my computer was not having any of it. Twitch was against me that day.
Yeah.
I went back and rewatched, and it was just all, she was just talking about us, and I was like, we love you.
We love her.
Yes, we love her. So yay. That's fun. I've never spent too much money this week. So that's exciting.
Well, again, I bought glasses and I bought prescription sunglasses. So my wallet felt heard this week. All right. I'm nervous about,
let's talk about what we're looking forward to next week. You're jumping the gun. So next week is a big week for me. I don't know about you, but so there is a movie coming out on the 25th called, I want to get it right because it's a title. It's a title and I didn't write it down. Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I feel like I've heard of that.
I don't know what it's about because I went on Wikipedia and there's no plot description.
Synopsis.
Huh. There's no synopsis. But the Russo brothers are producing it, among other people. Among other people that are in it is Michelle Yeoh, who I love. And she's the main character, and it is, there are a lot of AAPI names associated with it, including Jennifer Sue and Harry Shum Jr. The poster looks so trippy. I'm really excited to see what it's all about. I don't know anything about it. Nothing about it.
I am with Legendborn.
Yeah, I think it was Harry Shum Jr. posted the poster on Instagram. And I looked at it and I immediately said, yes, I am in. I'm in. I added it to my list. Yeah. So that is premiering on the 25th. On the 27th, the Oscars are happening. And as I have said already, I love award shows. So, and that is a Sunday. So after we record, I'm going to be immediately turning on the TV and watching all of the pre-show shit because that is who I am as a person. I'm so excited. Yeah. I love the Oscars. I love award shows just in general.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just love it. Let's see. What else do I have on my list? I am still waiting and it's almost time. A Magic Steeped in Poison by Judy Eilin and A Forgery of Roses by Jessica S. Olsen both drop on the 29th. Moon Knight drops on the 30th. And Morbius comes out on the 1st, and I got my tickets yesterday when I was going to see the Batman. So I'm going to that alone. My child is very, very afraid to watch Morbius.
Yeah.
She saw we've seen the trailers and every movie we've watched recently, and she's just like, nope, nope. I asked her to, and I'm like, are you going to come with me? And she was like, nope. And I'm like, okay, do not complain to me when I leave you at home and I go see a movie. So that's what I'm looking forward to in the next week.
I really don't have anything in the next week, but I do want to go ahead and start talking about and getting everybody hyped for Scar's Alex story by yes! Amber D. Lewis.
That comes out in April.
Yes, it comes out April 12th. I was lucky enough to get an ARC, so I have read it. It is wonderful. First of all, if you have not read The Night the Stars Fell, which is the first book in the Fire and Starlight saga by Amber D. Lewis, you are doing yourself a disservice.
It is so good.
Please go read it. It's on Amazon. You can, I think she says anywhere you buy books now, you can get a signed copy
on her website.
Yeah, you can get a signed copy on AmberDLewis.com. She'll sign it and ship it out to you. There's Kindle versions. You can go ahead and pre-order Alex's story. And then the next book is coming in, I think, August-ish. And I am just dying. Exciting. I was worried. And I won't give away spoilers because I want everyone to go read it. But Alec has a pretty heartbreaking backstory. And I was afraid because there are some things that is discussed about Alec in The Night the Stars Fell. And it makes you nervous of, am I going to love him less?
Yeah.
Hearing about his part in these things. Mm-hmm. And I just loved him more. And I want everyone to go read this series. I'm so excited about it. Yeah. It is, a lot of times people have this bias against indie published books that they're not going to be as good. I am certain that this series is going to be huge.
Yes.
Like I can see TV shows and movies. I can see, you know, I can see a big publishing house coming and snatching her up because she's just such a good writer.
And I want to put it out there into the world. Amber is actually a friend of ours. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put it out in the world. I don't know if she listens to the podcast. I haven't seen her talking about it, but I want Amber on our show. I want to talk to her about this. I want to talk to her about her writing process. I want to talk to her about this story. I want to talk to her about just everything. And I can't wait until we can get her to talk with us because she is a phenomenal writer, and I'm very excited for what's to come.
And I will go ahead and let everybody know, if you read The Night the Stars Fell or Alex's story, or ideally both once Alex's story comes out, I do have a Facebook group. It's called Felix's Friends. Felix is a character that you'll meet in The Night the Stars Fell, who is just precious. And so I add him in that group where we just kind of fangirl out to anything Amber does. She has a Patreon that you can join. I'm sure it's patreon.com/AmberDLewis. She puts out sneak peeks and behind the scenes things and art. Sometimes she'll even put out like scenes from an alternate point of view from the book. So there have been, I think, two scenes that we've gotten from another character's standpoint that I don't know how I've lived without until I got them. Like, so good. So yeah, check out Amber. You can follow her on Facebook and you can follow on her website. She's got a mailing list. We're big fans around here.
We're big fans of Amber D. Lewis. Remember her name because you're going to know her.
You're going to see it a lot more later, and I'm never going to shut up about her. So
that's what we're looking forward to. And actually, speaking of April, I already mentioned it once this podcast, but here comes the nerd. April Patreon is coming up. So sign up before April 1st to get your very own Tigger pin and sticker set or your very own Princess Leia pin and sticker set. They're both freaking cute. The space buns that she drew on Leia.
I can imagine.
I can't even. I squealed so hard when I first saw them. Here comes the nerd. I'm sorry. That is the wrong email website. Patreon.com/herecomesthenerd. There we go. That's where you can get her. All right, Mandy.
I don't know if I'm ready. I'm scared. again.
I feel like this time you might agree with me. And this is okay. This is an opinion that I hold. I feel like this shouldn't be a controversial topic. But I'm on brand. I'm wearing my Soviet crop top from Elhofer Design in honor of my dear sweet Bucky. And so this is my opinion this week. And I feel like you're going to agree with me. Don't be scared.
Okay.
The scene in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier where Bucky is free in Wakanda, that should have earned Sebastian Stan an Emmy, at least an Emmy nomination over Don Cheadle's Emmy nomination.
Yeah.
For his like less than 2 minutes in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I'm kind of offended that anybody other than Anthony Mackie or Sebastian Stan would get an Oscar nod. Emmy nod. Yeah. Sorry.
Neither of them were nominated for their performances in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I feel like that's a crime against the world because they were phenomenal. And especially as soon as I saw that scene in Wakanda where you see Bucky realize that he's free from his trigger words, the performance there, that scene alone earns everything in my mind. In my mind, that scene alone earns Sebastian Stan all the accolades because it's heartbreaking.
You can see him.
You can legitimately see him. He has worked. He's working through his trauma. He's releasing it. And it's just that performance was somehow not nominated for an Emmy.
I don't even remember Don Cheadle being there.
Don Cheadle was in the very first episode at the museum when Sam gives up the shield.
That's right. And that got an Emmy nomination?
I went through, after the Emmy nominations came out, I went through and I recorded or I screen grabbed his entire performance in the series. It's just that one scene. And it's literally, I think, less than like 2 minutes. He's less than 2 minutes of screen time.
I'm kind of offended.
And it's funny because Don Cheadle tweeted, he was like, I don't understand it either. Because he's not, I don't think he does anything like, don't get me wrong. I love Don Cheadle. I think he's a phenomenal actor. And, you know, he did what he had to do, but to get an Emmy for that and not have either of the leads earn anything?
It's like giving Barry Keoghan an Oscar for his performance in The Batman. Like,
yeah.
Why?
Yeah. And I don't.
That is kind of disrespectful.
It is. I feel like it's extremely disrespectful. You. So, yeah, I think that Sebastian's, and I said it when that episode came out. I said it when that scene happened. I said, Sebastian Stan is going to earn an award for that performance and that performance alone. And nothing. And I am still bitter about it a year later.
I need to rewatch The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I only watched it the once, and this might be upsetting, but it was my least favorite of the three. Obviously, I had to like Loki the most. And then WandaVision was so freaking good.
WandaVision was a cultural moment in time.
Yeah.
And we will never experience something like that again. WandaVision was, and there are issues with it that, you know, people, there are legitimate arguments, but WandaVision was just such a moment for just the world. Yeah. I feel like even people who were not Marvel fans who watched WandaVision were sucked in, you know, like it was so, it was just so quirky. Mm-hmm. Like, and going into it, I had no idea what was going to happen.
No,
I was like, how are we having Wanda and Vision? It made no sense. And so WandaVision was phenomenal. I will say we're going to disagree. I was a bit underwhelmed with Loki.
Listen.
I liked it. And there were moments where I was just like, excuse me, what just happened?
When they had that man with his sleeves rolled up, do that like muscular, like he's not even really that muscular, but he like crosses his arms and then pulls them out and pushes his chest forward to lift a freaking building.
And that,
I just awakened, you know, something. It was primal.
But I this might just be because I am a person of color, which is where we differ greatly, obviously.
Yeah.
But it was such I feel like The Falcon and the Winter Soldier was such an important show.
It was
very important, and it was, you know, Sam's speech there at the end had me. And I feel like it was, and I will say, however, and as somebody who is in love with Sebastian Stan, I will say, however, I love the buddy cop aspect of Sam and Bucky.
Yeah.
But I do feel like Bucky in the series, he just kind of overshadows Sam's moment, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like after The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, you've got all these people simping for Bucky. And it's like, Bucky's a big part of it. He's a big part of the show. But it's also like, Sam is a black man becoming Captain America. Like, this is a big moment.
You know what? That's right.
The moment. And that's that performance there at the end where he has that speech. It's just, Anthony Mackie, sir, you deserve so much more
everything
than you have been given.
Yeah.
You deserve so much more than you have been given. And that's actually something that has been brought up in terms of Captain America 4. People are saying they don't want Bucky in it, and I tend to agree.
Yeah, or if he's in it, it needs to be very minimal, like it was in the first Captain America where he's
right.
You know, the buddy. And then he's not there.
Yeah, right.
He's not there.
He's there, and then he gets kidnapped.
He goes off.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call him like a major player in the first movie, right?
Right. Well, and then Sebastian Stan's screen time across the MCU was like, I feel like somebody timed it and it was less than like 2 hours or something total of actual screen time total before Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I feel like, you know, I love Sebastian Stan and I love Bucky, but I tend to agree that Sam needs to have his solo moment as Captain America. And I feel like
that should just be glossed over.
Right. Right. And so, I feel like Captain America 4 should be more Sam. It doesn't necessarily need to include Bucky, which is, you know, hard for me to say because I love Bucky.
I do remember screaming at the TV when he was giving away the shield or giving up the shield, because it was like, you know what they're going to do. This is the government. They're immediately going to take advantage.
And that do you remember during that scene, the little microaggression where he was like, you know, this was the right thing to do, or this is the right thing to do, or thanks for doing the right thing, or whatever, like giving up the shield to put in the Smithsonian. Like, it was so aggressive. It's so aggressive. It's like, what do you mean this was the right thing to do? No. Captain America passed this on to Sam Wilson for a reason.
To you.
And you know what? I'm going to give you a bonus for this freestyle, because I want to say, I think Sam Wilson as Captain America in the short time that he has been Captain America has been a better Captain America than Steve Rogers' entire time in the MCU.
You know, I'm going to agree with that, because I can't stand Steve Rogers. I can't stand him.
I love Chris Evans. I love Captain America, but what has he done? What has he done?
He's had a golly gee willikers attitude.
He lied his way into the army.
Yep.
He got his best friend, you know, taken by Hydra. He destroyed quite a bit of American property. Dismantled SHIELD. He gave up after Infinity War. He just gave up. I mean, yeah, he decided to be like a therapist to people, but you know what? That was Sam's shtick.
Yeah. I can't stand him.
Sam Wilson as Captain America has been a better Captain America in the short time that we see him than Steve Rogers was in the entirety of the MCU. Sorry.
I've always been like the tall, dark, mysterious type. And so it's just, and I like refer to that and to him in any time there's like a blonde with a high and tight haircut who's just, you know, the actual hero that they want you to fall for. It's like, no, thank you. I don't need Captain America to come over here. Look, keep Steve Rogers away from me. I can't stand him. Ugh.
Sam.
Wally Cleaver energy, and I'm not here for it.
Sam is
or Beaver Cleaver.
Good person. And he is so, he's going to be such a good Captain America, and I can't wait to see it. I'm here for it. I am ready for people to simp over Sam Wilson. Please.
Yeah.
Please, people. This man deserves all your due. That is Captain America right here.
Yeah. I would.
And you know what? Yeah. Listen, that man has America's ass.
Hey, yes. Absolutely.
Sir, I love Sebastian Stan, but Anthony Mackie.
Don't sleep on him.
Don't, no, girl, no. Anthony Mackie is just.
So related, but not because we've got someone taking up the mantle of Captain America. Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen? And this is going completely off track, but it's okay. Freestyle
That's
for a reason. Who's taking up the Black Panther? Because I would love it to be M'Baku. If it's not Shuri, okay. I think it should be Shuri. But if it's not, I'd love M'Baku.
I have mixed feelings on this. And I will explain. So my first choice was and always has been Shuri. Because, first of all, she's blood. She's part of the bloodline.
And she's brilliant.
And she's a genius.
Yeah.
She could do great things. However, Tisha Wright.
She's so problematic.
She is so problematic. And to have Letitia Wright around people like Angela Bassett and Lupita Nyong'o and just and Danai Gurira.
Staining Chadwick Boseman's
and staining
franchise.
Can we just talk about the fact that if Chadwick was still alive right now, still in his battle, Letitia Wright would have been putting him in massive danger.
Yeah.
No
respect for that actress.
I wanted Shuri to be Black Panther. Could you imagine?
I mean, they could recast her.
They could.
It would be difficult, but
it would be hard, you know.
But Shuri would be the ideal.
I think Shuri would be the ideal person to take up Black Panther, because just imagine our little black girls seeing her on screen. It gets me teary eyed just thinking about it. Like, just I would have loved that. But oh God, I'm gonna cry now. Because it gets me so emotional when I think about it. And it's the same thing that happened when like Shang-Chi came out, and I was just like, oh God.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. I need a I'm like straight up crying. Oh my goodness. But Shuri would have been the ideal. But I agree. I think M'Baku would be, and did you see that they renegotiated Winston Duke's contract?
No.
Yeah,
be promising.
At some point, they renegotiated Winston Duke's contract because he was going to have a bigger role than they had previously expected.
Oh.
So that would be really exciting. I love Winston Duke. I
Yeah.
think he would be great as Black Panther. Another choice that I have seen nobody talk about, but I would really kind of enjoy, would be oh my God, what is her name? Nakia.
Yeah.
I
I don't
think I
know that
would.
she would.
I don't think she would, but I feel like she would do it justice. I feel like Nakia would, if something were to happen to T'Challa, and and if somehow Nakia was the one who was chosen, I don't think she would want to, but I think she would be like, well, to honor him, to take this up and to do as he's done and to do it better.
Yeah.
And she is the one, she's the one who convinced him, let's open up Wakanda,
Right. Let everybody in.
so she's, I mean, she is part of that Black Panther legacy. So I would be interested to, I'm interested to see who, what ends up
So
happening.
I'm with you. This is one that I don't like, but that has been like a recurring one that I've seen is people want them to bring back
Oh.
Killmonger.
Killmonger.
I would love nothing more than to see more Michael B. Jordan because that man is scrumdilicious. But
To quote your niece.
yeah, to quote my niece, he's scrumdilicious. But he had his moment. The Killmonger story had to go the way it did.
Okay. I have a counter argument.
Okay.
I agree. The Killmonger story had to go the way it did, and Killmonger is now dead. So, how does he
How do you
become
bring
the
him
next?
back?
However, we have the multiverse now. The multiverse exists.
Yeah.
I would love to see a version of Killmonger where he lived and grew up in Wakanda.
Yeah. See how
I could
it
see that.
changed him.
I could see if it were to be Killmonger as Black Panther, I could see them doing it as something like that, where it's
A variant.
a variant version where he grew up in Wakanda, like
And
whatever
doesn't have
happened.
that bitterness.
His dad wasn't, killed. That he wasn't, that he didn't end up being like the bad guy and all of that. I would be interested to see that. It wouldn't be my first choice, but if they did
No.
bring back Killmonger as Black Panther, that would be the ideal version for me,
Right.
if that's what they were
That's a
to
good
do.
point.
Because I wouldn't
That's a
want to
good
see,
point.
obviously you wouldn't want to see like the Killmonger that we saw as Black Panther,
Right. And I but I loved that his story points out that even the hero can be a villain to someone else. Even our T'Challa, who is so, pure and good and lovely and wonderful to Killmonger, he's still a villain. Because and T'Challa didn't even do it, but Wakanda is the villain to him because I'm one of you and you just left me. You just abandoned me.
Yeah, and it was a really important story that that movie addressed. And I'm just really intrigued to see what they do. And it sucks that we have to talk about who's going to take up the Black Panther mo
I know.
mantle, because Chadwick was just, he was a gem. He was an absolute gem. And he did all of,
Yeah.
he did all of those movies without
All
anybody
sick.
knowing what he was going through. So.
It gutted me to read after he passed that there were people, because of his weight loss, people were on the internet calling him the Crack Panther, insinuating that he was on drugs. When it's like, no, actually, he was fighting for his life and dying. But cool
So
on you to be an asshole.
hope you feel good about yourself.
Yeah. And the fact, like, knowing that he read that and his wife read that and his family saw how cruel people were for no reason, like, really?
For no reason. And it just goes to show, like, You don't know what's going on. Like,
No.
yes, these are public figures. They are in the public eye, but you don't know their life. You don't
No.
know what they're going through.
And if they, yeah, like we're sitting here judging Letitia for be, but she's literally come out and told the world she's trash. But
It's, I mean, it's a
Chadwick never
different,
did that
it's
because he wasn't
different.
trash.
It's a different, it's entirely different. Like, to compare the things, or it's like apples and oranges, because
Right.
Chadwick, people were saying shit about Chadwick based on things that they saw. We're
Yeah.
seeing things about Letitia based on things that she has publicly said.
Yeah, she publicly says
She's
it's
publicly
different.
said it. It's very different. It's one thing to assume, and it's one thing to have
Yeah.
actual like
Call
proof in
them
front of
out
you.
on, call people out on their bullshit if you know it's their bullshit,
Did
you
you
know?
see Evangeline Lilly is also
That's another one that I can't stand because of Lost. Like, I
I
can't stand
know she was cast, and I was like, I don't know
John
how I
Hamm.
feel
I don't
about
like
this.
her
I don't know how I feel. Yeah, when she came
even
into
before she came out as trash.
well when she came into the MCU, I was like, I don't
Yeah.
know. I don't know how I feel about this. So, but now with this, I don't know. It's you we
I
learn
don't
a
want her
lot
near
about
Paul
people.
Rudd. I don't want her near
Oh
Paul Rudd.
God, nobody,
Get away
please
from him.
put that man in a bubble.
He's
I
our
love that.
treasure.
He is a national treasure.
And she
And
needs to just don't breathe near him.
he is a really great example of female versus male gaze,
Yes.
because he is just, ooh, he is scrumptious.
I don't know. I think that he's universal. Like my husband loves him just as much as I do.
Like Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds is Ryan Reynolds and Paul Rudd are the two men that every person is in love with.
Well, and with Paul Rudd, people talk about how he doesn't age, and it's like that's what happens when you are not problematic and you stay in your lane and you're kind and people just love you. It's you
Yeah.
don't age. Karma watches. Karma knows you're not going to age.
He that man is
He's in
just
his
not.
50s. I can't.
I don't. Oh my goodness. So we went off the rails.
As usual, it's
But you know what?
incoherent.
It's fangirl freestyle. We can talk about whatever we want.
Clint
Let's just look at a cute little Clint Barton bobblehead to
Barton,
make us.
should all of the people listening to this go like our Facebook and our Instagram and our Twitter and our TikTok? What do you think, Clint? Do you think they should go to Here Comes the Nerd and follow and sign up for Patreon and make a purchase with code fangirl? And do you think they
Yeah.
should go to amberdlewis.com and buy The Night the Stars Fell and pre-order Alex Story?
Yes. He
Listen,
says
it's yeses all around. He's
he's
nodding
saying yes
away.
to all of them. So,
He is nodding away.
speaking of Patreon, friends, we would
Yee.
like to launch ours. So, if you're interested, leave us a comment on one of our socials or send us an email and let's talk about it, people,
Yeah.
because I would really love for y'all to get these videos and you can just see me holding up Clint Barton bobbling his head, or the faces that we make, or my
Yeah.
insane hand gestures, because I do that a lot. Like, y'all don't understand, I talk with my hands.
Yeah.
It happens
I
so
do too.
often.
And we
So
want to know before we launch, we want to know what you want though too. We want to make sure that Patreon for you is worth it. Because you're getting things that you want to see or hear or be a part of.
And a thought on Patreon, something that Mandy and I have talked about, is we want to partner with some small shops and make have them like create some exclusive merchandise for us. So, for example, I've spoken with Grimoire T, and she's like, if you want, we could get a Incoherent Fangirl exclusive tee. So that would be something that would be a nice little Patreon perk. If we were to launch that. So just let us know. Send us an email with
Yes.
things that you would like to see from us. We also have some I cut out a lot of stuff when I'm editing, because
We ramble.
We ramble a lot. Like, you witness us rambling, but you do not
You don't know the
understand
half of it.
how much we ramble. So I cut out a lot of stuff, and I would love to be able to release some of that content to y'all. So
we had a
that
whole
would be...
discussion about the differences between Disney parks last week.
Yes.
That
was
we're saving.
All cut out. I feel like there was a part of our conversation with Joanna that I had to cut because it wasn't relevant to what we were talking about. It was just me getting us completely off track as always. So we would love to be able to release that content. That would be something that we'd do as like a Patreon perk if y'all are interested. Like I said, we're recording on Zoom, so we've got video. Every episode that we've done so far and will continue to do has a full length episode, like video episode, that you could be watching and you could see the faces that Mandy makes at me. Sometimes I'm just like, girl, what are you doing? because we hold stuff up to the camera to show each other. Like, we're actually going to be able to show you. So I'd love you to be able to see that as well so that we don't have
definitely.
To be like, go follow us somewhere else.
Definitely.
Send us an email. Let us know what kind of Patreon perks would get you excited about joining Patreon. And throw in, like, your price points, like your budget levels kind of thing. We don't want to make it too expensive.
No.
We are very... We spend enough of our money on merchandise.
Yes.
So we understand that you
we
know.
Just want to fangirl out with you, even if you're not a fangirl.
Yeah.
That's just our name, but we want a fan friend. We want a fan friend out with everybody in any way possible.
Absolutely. So send us an email. Let us know what you think. I also want to give a shout out to we have a website that we can track the stats of our podcast.
Oh yeah.
And it breaks it down by listener location. And we have some Finnish and German fans apparently.
Hi from America.
Hi, friends. So if you are, you know, listening to us from outside of the US, send us an email.
And tell your Canadian friends, because Karen wants us to have a Canadian friend. So.
Yeah, we had a Canadian listener on our first episode, but they didn't come back for episode two, which made me sad. So,
but our Finnish and German friends have listened to both of our episodes now. Yes. So stay. Really we love excited. You.
Yes. Send us an email. I can't speak either language, but Google Translate is my friend.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, I mean, if you're listening, I guess you do understand English,
I guess you
right?
speak English. So in America, they don't really make us learn multiple languages, and it sucks
because
I would love to be multilingual. So maybe you can teach us some Finnish or some German.
That'd be really fun.
I have a little bit of French, but that's it.
My French is very rusty. I would love to get some listeners in Asia as a Chinese American person. I will start talking. Listen, I'll start talking in Chinese if I have to. Mandy won't understand anything.
I'll Google Translate the recording. I'm good.
So if you enjoyed the podcast, we would love for you to follow and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. We would love that. We would love to have more listeners. Tell your friends about us.
Leave some reviews.
Leave some reviews wherever you are listening, especially if it's like Apple Podcast or like Spotify. I think there's like a review button. And if you review us, then we can get bumped up in the charts, and then more people will find us, and we can do this for more people. More people should enjoy our nonsense.
Our shenanigans.
Many shenanigans. Follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on Instagram and TikTok. We are at Incoherent Girls on Twitter because they have a character limit, which we have exceeded. It's very annoying. We have a Facebook page. Please like us there. The Incoherent Fangirl. We have a website that you can also listen to us at. If you don't want to do any of like the streaming services, you can just stream us on our website, theincoherentfangirl.com. where you can also find like some fun little bios about us. I don't know if anybody's seen those yet, but we wrote those, so those are fun. Send us an email at theincoherentfangirl.com. Questions, comments, suggestions, corrections, anything, you know, if
yes.
there's something that was wrong, please correct
Call us out, please.
Call us out, please. We never intend to be mean or derogatory or anything like that.
Or wrong.
We might just be ignorant and we don't want to be. So if we are, please tell us. Be nice about it because we're sensitive people. But
we will cry. I will cry.
but please tell us.
Yeah.
And I think that's all of our socials. There's so many.
I think so. I think you hit it.
So.
Hit them all.
I'm always worried. I should start writing them down so that I remember, but I probably won't do that because
they're all linked.
Yes, they're all linked. They're all linked in the episode description. You know, if you want to find Mandy or I on like Goodreads, you can see what we're reading or wanna. Yeah, that might be fun. If you're reading along or stuff like that. I recently discovered Goodreads this year, so I'm pretty. I keep it pretty up to date. I think,
I do
and
too.
I think you do too. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're interested to see what we're currently reading and you're like between episodes, you can catch us there. We're also
let's be
both
friends.
Let's be friends. We love friends. What else? What else, Mandy? I feel like
we're both on Instagram and the TikTok.
Yes, we are both on the Instagram and the TikTokies. My daughter hates it when I call it TikTok.
Josh calls it Tickle Talk, and the twins hate it. He just says it because it annoys them.
I know. I'm always like, let's go watch the TikToks, and she's like, Mom,
ah, like, gross.
TikTok. Yeah. And she's only 7. I can't wait to embarrass her when she's a teenager. I'm so excited for that. It'll be so much fun. So, yes, we all... Blah, blah, blah. Words are hard, man.
Words are hard.
Just find us. We're all over social media, both of us, individually and as a podcast. We love you. Hang out with us.
Yeah.
Geek out with us. We love it. We love geeking out. We obviously like talking about it because we do it a lot on
a
here.
A lot.
And you don't even know the half of it.
Nope.
I'm pretty sure a lot of the stuff that we're recording now is going to get cut because y'all, we've been talking for almost 3 hours.
3 hours.
So I guarantee you it will not all make it into the podcast. So let us know if you want to hear some of the stuff that, you know, doesn't end up on the podcast so we can create a Patreon for y'all.
Yes.
I'm really excited about Patreon. I love Patreon.
Me too. I'm pumped. So, if you sign up for Patreon and you can see this, you could see George Bailey,
yes.
My dog, is in my lap. He's been harassing me.
So freaking cute, y'all. You want in on this
just so you can see his
content.
Cute little face.
Premium content. If
this
we,
is the face I will show.
Yeah, he's so precious. You could see my Here Comes the Nerd artwork on my wall. Or my little Myrtle Mermaid made by a dear friend of mine whose name I will not say at the moment because I don't know if I have permission to say her name yet. But you know who I'm talking about.
Yep. And you can see all my bookshelves. Maybe I do a bookshelf tour one day.
Yes.
Library tour for patrons only.
Yeah. So please, y'all, let us know if you want to do Patreon because we want to. We desperately want to. You could see Mandy's demonic Mrs. Potts.
Yes, I could light her up.
You could light her up and you can see
Patreon.
How she looks. She looks demonic when
she
she's
does.
Lit up on screen. But she real cute.
She real cute. She smells right. good.
Yes.
She's demonic.
I gotta go feed my child.
And that was the Incoherent Fangirl.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming back. We know we talk a lot, but we appreciate all of you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.